Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Places with the highest levels of joblessness will get extra NHS support as the government bids to get Britain working again. Work and Pensions Secretary Liz Kendall will announce the plans today, keeping the government's vow to bring more than 2 million people back into work. She's been speaking at Peterborough College.
In order to get Britain growing again, we've got to get Britain working again. And that means a big new change to employment support. The government has a responsibility to transform opportunities for young people so all young people are earning or learning.
President-elect Donald Trump is threatening to impose sweeping new tariffs on Mexico, Canada and China as soon as he takes office, as part of his efforts to crack down on illegal immigration and drugs. And Manchester United have signed up to become the first Premier League club to offer male sanitary facilities. It comes after a new study from Prostate Cancer UK and PHS Group found 50% of those with male bladder weakness attend fewer games due to a lack of facilities and anxiety. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Lev Thompson.
Coming up, Africa in Focus.
You might want to step back from your speaker or remove your headphones.
Yes! I just can't believe it.
Mark's found out he's won £11.4 million on Lotto.
This is just... You know what? I've got tears in my eyes.
Yep, that's £11.4 million. Lotto, will you be the next millionaire? The National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or
over. NHS England is launching the next phase of their Pharmacy First advertising campaign that raises awareness of the expanded services available at your community pharmacy. Those services mean that pharmacists can now provide some prescription medicine, if needed, for 7 common conditions without the need to see a GP first. Going to your local pharmacy offers an easy and convenient way to get clinical advice on minor health concerns. And now community pharmacies can offer treatment and, when appropriate, some prescription medicine for 7 common conditions without GP appointment. This is part of a major transformation in the way the NHS delivers care. Community pharmacies are staffed by highly skilled and qualified health professionals who are trusted parts of local communities. Pharmacists can train for 5 years in the use of medicines before they qualify and are also trained in clinically assessing and treating minor illnesses and giving health and well-being advice to help people stay well. Pharmacy technicians are part of the pharmacy team and are also registered health professionals.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Africa in Focus.
Colorful.
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 Genius.
Colorful.
Colorful.
Colorful. Colorful Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, or even good evening, depending on the time zone that you're connecting to us from. Welcome to Africa in Focus. And I'm your host, Julius Mbaluto. And today I'm joined by a great friend of mine. He's a journalist and not new to the, new to the Africa in Focus. And his name is Emmanuel Ruifi. Now, Emmanuel, just briefly, for the sake of those who are very new to the show, you can introduce yourself again and then we'll pick it up from there.
Oh, thank you very much, Sir Julius. My name is Emmanuel Ruifi, journalist, also very much within the community as a publicity secretary for my community anyway. And I've been in journalism for the past 15 years, and we'll be talking on this program now for some time now.
Yeah. We should, by the way, if we were to give you MBE by now, we could have done it. But you never know. We may speak to the king one day, and we have a fella who has done a lot for community. Yeah, there you have it. We always appreciate you, Emmanuel. Today, of course, and we are coming to you from the heart of London, wherever you are in the world. Depending on your time zone, your live online worldwide, you can just connect with us. And we are coming to you from the heart of London on Colorful Radio. So keep it colorful as you have a very colorful day. So let's kick off today by, shedding light, focusing more on Africa. And today we are talking about Africa vis-a-vis the US election and probably the implications of democracy to what we have seen going on in the world today. But yeah, we're going to pick up this conversation. Number one, we saw excitement, and contrary to so many people in the following the US politics, many thought, what are the chances of President Donald Trump being elected after he was convicted? You know, and many people thought it's going to be Kamala Harris, you know, and that's where the thoughts were. But surprise, surprise, Trump is now the president. And why are we talking about it today? Because after he has been elected, he has been able to talk about Africa in different ways. This time, of course, he focuses on Nigeria. A narrative coming across, US will lessen the numbers of Nigerians going to the US because they want the best brains to remain in Nigeria, but not to go to the US. That's narrative number one. We have seen Trump come and also tell Nigerians they made a mistake to elect President Tinubu, and Peter Obi could have been a better alternative, you know, and that's Trump for you. We have also seen Trump come and talk about recognizing Somaliland, because if you've been following politics in Africa, Somaliland's action or efforts to be recognized globally as an independent sovereign state has taken a long, long, long time. And we saw Somaliland strike a deal with Ethiopia not long ago to give access to Ethiopia to the sea. And also in return, Somaliland, you know, Ethiopia to also campaign to recognize Somaliland as a sovereign state that already put Ethiopia in direct collision with Somalia as a country, because Somalia is a country they claim Somaliland is part of Somalia. It's not an independent state. So we have that ongoing at the back. Of course, you see the role of US Trump. We are going to recognize Somaliland against the wishes, of course, Somalia and, you know, states that support Somalia. So we have those things, Trump talking to Africa. Now the question is, is election of President Donald Trump an accident to what we call democracy? Or what does this thing we call democracy mean anymore? You see, you know, even in African standards, every country you go, you have a criteria. If I remember very well, if I have to give an example, on the Kenyan Constitution, for example, Chapter 6 of the Kenyan Constitution, they talk about ethics and integrity. And it stipulates that there should never be a candidate cleared to vie for elective post if their character is wanting, if they have violated that chapter by maybe being corrupt, maybe having cases, being taken to court, being in prison, all those things. And they matter in Africa. But you have our wonderful global player, USA, the mother of democracy, where the story of democracy started years back when a great leader in America talked about democracy, you know, like rule of the people, by the people and for the people. So what are the people saying? I don't understand, Emmanuel. What are they saying?
it's a surprising thing for Donald Trump. He was there 4 years ago. For the global player like US to elect someone like Donald Trump, it's really shocking because we look up to US as the beacon of democracy. And here, they foist somebody on us as the president of the US who is a convicted felon. I mean, with so many cases on his neck, if by any standard he is supposed to be jailed, but by some what will I say it? Surprise note, Kamara lost it, and most African countries were looking up to Kamala Harris to win the election. But here we are, we're back with Donald Trump, and his election has implication for Africa, has implication for global politics, for geopolitics generally. So for whoever becomes president of the U.S., it has vast implication for the entire earth as we speak. So for Donald Trump is back to us. There's nothing we can do about it. And for what you just said about Nigeria is going to reduce immigration, that's his own view about Nigeria. Reducing immigration from Nigeria means a lot, because he knows very well that Nigeria is one of those potential black population all over the world. We have a lot of Nigerians in the U.S. today. And indeed, it would be better for Nigerians to remain at home if there are serious reforms within our system. And if we can rejig our internal economy, what we have there, President Tinubu, can make appropriate reforms to prevent Nigerians from going to the U.S., fine. I think Donald Trump has a point there. Why training doctors and nurses, and the next thing that you see, they are back here in the U.S. But you see, they are providing good services to the U.S. economy, good service to the British economy. But we are losing a lot in terms of net flow of brain. But we have brain drain in Africa. And so for some reasons, I will join issues there to say that Africans' economy should be revamped now. There should be reforms so as to make Nigerian workers, doctors, nurses remain in Nigeria or remain at home. As for Donald Trump, as for the issue of Peter Obi being a president, well, that is also his view. We also know that Peter Obi did very well in the election, did very, very well in that election. Internally, he did very well, but he could not make it. But at the end of the day, we have a president in Nigeria. That's another thing, another day. In terms of Ethiopia issue, if Somaliland is granted independence from Donald Trump's point of view, then we're looking for a real crisis there in the Horn of Africa. I don't think Somalia will abide by that. We already see the memorandum of understanding signed with Ethiopia. But if the talk goes ahead to recognize Somaliland, it all means Somalia is ready or will be ready to go to war with Ethiopia. And that's a serious issue in the Horn of Africa, which will lead to re-destabilization of that part of the world. And so we're waiting till January when it will come to power. And the whole world is waiting breathlessly for Donald Trump to come to back. In fact, everybody's just waiting breathlessly in the Middle East, with Russia, with Africa, and everywhere. We're waiting for January 20 to come. And let's see how it will go, whether there will be serious changes in the internal economies, which whether there will be global changes in oil production, in the exports, and immigration issues. There are so many issues that we need to be looking at now. Issues of immigration, issues of trade and investments, issues of security in Africa. Security in Africa. And those are some of the basic issues we are going to be looking at, especially trade and investment in Africa. So we are looking at, but Africa now have to stand firm to reform the East internal dynamics, pending where Donald Trump is running. And we'll see how it goes from there.
Let's actually not let the US and Donald Trump get away that easy. Why is it that? I keep asking myself, like, why is it that? You mean the Constitution of the US doesn't address the issue of elections and convictions? It doesn't. It doesn't. It's just talking about you have to be a citizen, born citizens of the US, and they're talking about also the age issue, at what age you're supposed to stand or vie to be elected as a president. But their constitution is quiet on ethics, integrity. It's quiet. And that's why you realize it was so easy for Donald Trump to vie, because he knew the constitution was silent on that issue. And he comes up and he wins, going down in the history to become the first elected convict, you know? And you have seen, because of, again, benefits of being the president after he has become president, the courts are quashing all the other, you know, cases in court because you cannot prosecute a sitting president. Why is that? And how should the rest of the world interpret that? Can I say something, Emmanuel? You know, you've been following African politics. Can you just imagine if Donald Trump came from a country in Africa?
Yes.
Yeah? And yes, the global headlines are Nigeria or Equatorial Guinea have elected an actual convicted criminal with a life case. What do you think? Who do you think will be the first one to talk about it? Is it not the US? What do you think they will be saying?
This is Colorful Radio. Colorful Radio.
Yeah. Is the Constitution, all it's boiled to the Constitution, is very quiet on felony. This is a convicted felon. And we expected that as a convicted felon, he should not be a president in the first place. If this happened in Africa, I mean, it's US and the other countries, Western world, will say, oh, why? Why should we elect a convicted felon to be a president? But this happened in the US, of all places. I mean, it's strange that the Constitution should be so quiet on that. I remember he has other cases pending, more than 37 cases. And here, he's elected. But I mean, this is something which is sad for me, because America is the one that is talking about democratic norms, democracy, rule of law, and we don't know where we are going to copy the real democracy from. We are copying democracy, rule for the people, government of the people by the people for the people, and they're based on human rights laws, based on rule of law, based on the Constitution. Now, the Constitution of the U.S., I think, is quiet in that area. It's quiet. It's not very... I was following up the election up to the time it was fully elected, and the opposition was hammering on it. But that could not prevent the U.S. people from electing him. And then he is elected. He's going to be sworn in. So it told me something has to be done about the Constitution of the U.S., but these amendments have been done over and over of the Constitution. I don't see when they're going to make any more amendments again. So I don't see how that aspect of the Constitution can be amended. But it's a sad case. But at the end of the day, they've elected who they want to elect. These things also in Africa, taking examples of African countries. We're having a case like this in Nigeria. President of Nigeria. But the constitution also is also quiet. Yeah, but so we that was let that case go. People were citing certain cases of the President of Nigeria having some cases, pending cases, but when we look at it thoroughly, it was not to be. That had been quashed a long time ago. So as I've my own view, American people should get on with Donald Trump. He's been foisted on them already, courtesy of the Constitution. So there's nothing we can do about it. It's a lesson which the whole world will have to learn. We have to grapple with it.
And of course, we are living in very delicate time. We talk about, you know, Africa, and Africa is all the time ending up being dragged into fight wars that are not African wars. I'll give you an example. Even when you talk about global war on terror, never had anything to do with Africa. I mean, when all this started in 1998, when we had twin bombing of Kenya and Tanzanian embassy at the same time, US embassy at the same time. That was the very first time we saw that kind of terrorism beginning. And today it's been so much, you know, a factor for African way of life. But before that, it never used to be. But away from that, I just want to use a different example. If you go back in history, Second and First World War were not African wars, right? And, you know, the Africans were recruited to fight these wars that were not African wars in a very disrespectful way. By the way, the soldiers from Africa were treated, even where we are in the UK, you can see the difference between soldiers from Africa, soldiers from the Western world, how they were treated. And when you see honor being given to soldiers who fought World War, either first and second, it's not the same honor that gets given to soldiers who fought from Africa on these wars. And these ones were actually the ones on the forefront. You see, when you look into that, now where we are right now, the standoff between Russia and NATO Western fronted states, we are in a delicate situation again globally. Threats of nuclear war from Russia to US, because just US and UK allowed Ukraine to use the weapons, it gave sophisticated weapons and allowed this to be launched on the soil of Russia. You know, it wasn't before. And for that, it's provoked President Putin. Yeah. And now he's threatening. So you look at it this way. If World War was to begin again, to happen again, you will have US, you will have the UK getting soldiers from Africa to come and help fight in this war. So why are we where we are now? Why is there no proper respect? Why can't Africa have a say in these things? Why?
No proper respect. You can never have proper respect. Let's take us back from the Berlin Conference, 1884 to 1885, where 14 European countries sat down in Berlin and partitioned Africa among themselves under Otto von Bismarck, 1884 November to January 1885. And in the next 20 years, Africa was partitioned, and then conquered and colonized for another 50 years. And then between 1914 to 1919, we have the First World War. They call it World War. In what way is it called World War? Who didn't cause the war? Who did it cause the shooting of the princess in the Sarajevo, 1914? Africa was not there. But they recruited Africans to go and fight there. And then there's this discrimination about pensioners, those who retired from the war, they could not get their pension, they could not get proper respect. It has happened. It has been happening all over the world, what you call it World War. Second World War, the same, 1939 to 1945, and they call it World War. Who caused it? Africans were not there. It was an alliance system between Japan, Japan, Germany, and then on the other side you have France and Russia. These Nazi powers against the Allied powers. So they call it World War. When we're not there, but Africans were recruited to go and fight the war. They went to fight in China, sorry, in Burma, in India, in most part of the Far East, and they came back home with nothing. All the promises made, were not given until they have to revolt, especially in India. Following India's independence, and then Africa followed suit before started getting independent in the 1960s. So what we're saying, yes, Africans were being disrespected all over the place. We don't have respect. We are discriminated. We are racist. There's racist comments, especially from Donald Trump, who said Africa is a shithole because we've not been able to put ourselves in order. Even after all these reforms we've been doing, Africa is still backward. So the disrespect is still there. We'll continue to have it. We'll continue to have this disrespect, this racist attitude towards Africans. If a third world war starts now and Putin gets extremely exacerbated and drop a bomb, and then there's a third world war, this same thing will happen again. They're going to recruit Africans again to go and fight another third world war, and they will be killed. They'll come home with nothing. So that is how it's a kind of ripple effect, where we're seeing how we need to start reforming, internal reform within Africa, put our countries in order. Otherwise, they will rip us off all over again in the case of a third world war. They're definitely going to recruit Africans. We are going to go and fight there, and then we're not going to get anything for it.
Colorful radio. Colorful radio.
So that's
this time you're gonna be so good. I can see people like Emmanuel, them saying, "Hey, we know you're brave, eh? And yeah, you can do this. You know, we know you're experts. You can even go to the forefront, eh?" So this time you become so nice. But before that, you're immigrant. You should be deported back to your country.
No, this time around, what's going to happen? You see what's going to happen. If there's a third world war, that's why the people will say, "Oh, are you British Africa?" They will not come close. Are you British Nigeria, British Africa? You are an African. They see you as an African. You are the paper they gave you as a British is just a paperwork. That description will come up. I can bet you. They will tell you that you are an African. Go back home. Go home. And that discrimination will always be there. So don't look at whether you are British or you are American. Donald Trump is saying that the other time the first is coming to power, he said he's going to remove 1 million immigrants from America, out of which more of that is Nigerian. Is that not discrimination? By saying that they're going to, deport 1 million Africans from the U.S., most of which were Nigerians. But Nigerians, Haiti, the statement he made about Africans, Nigerians, and Haiti was as a result of immigrants coming into the U.S. But who built the America? It is the slave from Haiti. It is African labor that was used in building the U.S., in building Britain, in building the West. African labor was used. We built the West. We built it with our labor. So it's not that we are lazy. We are strong enough. We work hard. And even presently, we are developing the health sector in the West, most of in the UK, the US, most of the black people are there in the forefront as health workers. So the discrimination is palpable, but we don't know what Donald Trump is up to in his second term if he comes to power.
Just a quick one. What do you think African leaders on the ground in their countries, what do you think they think when they hear Donald Trump telling them what to do? Does he have a leg to stand on?
Well, he's telling them what to do. The African leaders wake up right now because a lot needs to be done within Africa. For example, let's talk of trade. America is now producing an oil producer. Before, they relied on Nigeria for oil, a lot of oil. Most of oil from America was from Nigeria. But now America has changed that. Donald Trump is a proponent of shale oil production. Export oil production in the U.S. have increased. In fact, we're even buying from America right now. So they should, African countries should wake up to improve oil production. In fact, Nigeria especially should work to improve oil production for export. We have the AGWA, the African Growth Opportunity Act, which has benefited African countries since 2000. That should be improved on. We don't know what Donald Trump will do about that because of the tariffs that are coming up. I know it's going to improve 10% tariffs on exports. So African countries should wake up to that reality in January. Because otherwise, we are going to face less export of our products to the U.S. If AGWA is successful, African economies will grow exponentially, but it depends on what they can do for exports to the U.S. And investments, we also have security systems within the African countries. Africa is faced with security problems from Boko Haram, from the north, and then which have been taken advantage of by Russia. If you take it into Mali, Niger Republic, and Burkina Faso. So there are going to be issues of security, which Africa should wake up. Because we don't know what Donald Trump is going to do when he just totally find out that Russia has really infiltrated Africa into taking over Mali, especially Mali, Burkina Faso, Niger Republic, and other African countries. There's serious issues there and sort out the security issues from the Sahel Africa. So that's one. Protectionism. We know Donald Trump is all about protecting America first.
Yeah.
America first. So this protectionist policy of Donald Trump, how is it going to affect Africa? Would need African countries need to wake up? How they can also protect their own economy too? If Donald Trump is protecting American exports, so what happened? If he's calling Africa a shithole, why are they coming to Africa to come and exploit our resources? We have minerals from all over Africa. We have minerals from South Africa, from Nigeria, from all over the place, and you're calling the country a shithole. But this is Africa, blessed Africa, with a lot of mineral resources, a lot of oil and gas, so many minerals. They depend on Africa for their economy. Africa is not a shithole, as Donald Trump said. So Africa, if Donald Trump is coming with protectionism policy, Africa will wake up and try and see if they can increase exports, increase the economy, and then see how the tariffs can be, if the tariffs Donald Trump be imposed may affect Africa. Then in that case, Africa, especially Nigeria, should increase non-oil production. And that will supplement the economy. And so American first, we also look at African first and see how we can go from there.
Yeah, indeed. I support Africa first as well because, life is give and take. It's not always one-way traffic. Yeah. It's only fair to give and take. But when you look into the new alignments, global alignments, you have BRICS group of nations, of course, where you find Russia, China, Brazil, and they've recruited some countries in Africa so far. And that is not the end. I think more countries from Africa may be joining this alliance. This alliance of BRICS is seen as more fairer because even if they come up with their own different currency, they are fighting against the US dollar, which has been featured prominently with the Western-fronted Bretton Woods institutions, your IMF, your World Bank, and which has been really responsible and accused of crippling the economies of Africa. So when you see countries leaving this Western model in terms of international alliances to join BRICS, you cannot blame them. But in it all, Africa becomes a playground where the international actors playing each other on African soil. You have Chinese penetrating Africa in deals in this and that, infrastructure building and everything. And then you have all these other Western alliances trying to take what they thought belonged to them before the Chinese came from Africa.
Colorful radio.
Colorful radio.
Yes, on we were talking about BRICS. The BRICS. BRICS. BRICS involves countries like China, India. China, India, South Africa joined recently. Their aim was to harmonize their economy, to have a kind of alternative to the use of the dollar. But you can see that since Donald Trump came to power, the BRICS momentum has fallen. Because you see, these are countries that have different currencies. The dollar has been the major currency all over the world for trade and investment all over the world. And now you're coming out, they want to have a different currency, except they want to use cryptocurrency or some kind of which they have proposed, but it's not working.
They're not planning to use cryptocurrency. They are coming up with the idea that they need a different currency which will actually make the dollar stop being operational as a global currency. So you know, when you immediately you talk about the global financial world order, you have all these Western countries from Western Hemisphere and NATO-fronted the US, UK, and all the rest of them. And they're the ones, when you talk about global economic control, you've gone straight to IMF, World Bank, and you've seen these are the ones that have been accused of impoverishing African countries with loans, unfair loans, talking about also conditions they throw across these loans. You saw recently what IMF did in, for example, protests there by Gen Z's in Kenya. You know, you're shocked to begin to see your government being answerable to IMF. And IMF, they want to have an office, perhaps in Nairobi, to control the economic flow of the country. It's like global new colonialism, typically.
That's what it's all about.
And that's why African countries are like, BRICS is a better option than...
Over the years, the IMF and the World Bank have been dominating the African economies. dictating, in fact, dictating what should be done to Africa, dictating the terms of growth, dictating something like interest rates, employment reduction, IMF and the World Bank. They are the forefront of African development. But should we call it development? Because
underdevelopment.
It's underdevelopment. They've underdeveloped Africa. African growth rate is stunted over the years. And then we have great unemployment figures for Africa. And then we have so much loans we are owing to the IMF. Nigeria's new budget is going to be based on borrowing. We're going to borrow more than $2 trillion in the next one financial year to finance the budget. So in that case, and this all these loans are all dollarized. They are all dollarized loans. So we pay in dollars, pay back in dollars. But these BRICS, emergence of BRICS, hopefully, if they can come up with an alternative currency, that's better. But this, most of these countries have different currencies already. How do you harmonize it? Since Donald Trump came to power, the dollar has strengthened. The dollar has strengthened against other currencies. And the implication is great for the BRIC. I think I read something that BRIC, they were supposed to have come up with a meeting or something. With the proposal for the currency, they put it on hold with the coming to power of Donald Trump. So Donald Trump coming to power will have greater implications for BRIC economy. So we don't know. With American first and protectionism for America, and then imposition of tariffs for imports into the U.S. is really going to have impact on the BRIC quote economies. For now, especially China, the war tariff war with China is going to be another pointy case. Donald Trump intends to impose tariffs on Chinese goods coming to the U.S. and that may have impact on them. On the Chinese imports, and there you have the likes of Elon Musk smiling to the bank in the next few years, and a portfolio of almost $22 billion, which will come his way. So for BRICS economy, I think there's need for them to wait till January 20 and see what Donald Trump has got for the U.S. economy. And see how it goes from there.
Yeah, out of that, maybe they need to think ahead. And
yeah, they need to think ahead.
This is very competitive. This is very competitive.
Yeah.
And so you're right. But again, when you think about, no African country will want to go and fight in a third world war. Do you think Donald Trump represents the best option for peace? Of course, he has come talking about these wars in Ukraine, this war in Gaza. If he was in power, they wouldn't have happened. And standoff between Russia and the rest of NATO countries would not have happened. Do you think he represents the best option for peace?
People are saying he represents peace, that he may likely stop the war in Ukraine. But where is the proposal for it? The other people also say that he wouldn't have invaded Gaza. But I take that with some element of equanimity, because Trump stands firm with Israel. That is the U.S. policy. They stand firm with Israel. They've been supporting sending arms to Israel. That is the U.S. policy. I don't think Trump would deviate from that. And he was saying that I had something. I read something when he said it will give a go ahead for Israel to bomb the nuclear facility, the Iran nuclear facility. That was Trump for you. So Trump, if we look at it, a critical look, is he may stop the war in Ukraine, but Putin is waiting for a good proposal. Are you going to come up with a demilitarized zone between Russia and Ukraine, 800 miles of demilitarized zone? Would that work? Are you going to force Ukraine to give up the land, the Kursk area? Would it be forced to give up that land? Because the issue is all about the land now. Are you going to ask Russia to stop fighting and allow Ukraine to take over the land back, the Kursk area back? So those are the issues. Are you going to stop supplying arms to Ukraine? Now, if you stop supplying arms to Ukraine, what next? Are you going to ask Zelensky, President Zelensky, to stop using the long-range missiles into Russia or within the Kursk area alone? So those are the questions we are going to ask. Does Trump like to go to war? Well, in his first term, there was no problem. He was able to deal with the insurgents in Africa.
Yeah, we saw him even going to meet Kim Jong-un in North Korea.
North Korea, threatening North Korea.
Trying to befriend President Putin.
Threatening North Korea. Then he also went to as far as supplying some munitions to Nigeria, even when Biden was not forthcoming. He was able to supply some planes, bombers, bombing aircraft to Nigeria, Tucano aircraft to Nigeria. So it is helpful in that area to promote peace and security. I think that is what is. Don't forget, General Trump is a businessman. He's out to promote
straight deals.
Straight deals. Straight business deals. That's what it's up to.
Mm-hmm.
So if it comes to power, you see how it's going to look at where this American first, this protectionism will be his first thing. How he can protect American businesses, how he can promote American businesses around the world, and how he can stop wars, wars all over the world. Hopefully, we shall see that come to pass.
Yeah. For me, if he can strike deals for peace, I'm like, okay, go for it. I don't care how you happen to be around.
Yes.
If you can be a force for peace, for me, I'm good enough. That's good enough.
Yes.
Because we want peace in this world. We don't want war.
Yes. That's it. For peace to reign, for trade and investment to reign, there must be peace. There should be peace.
Exactly.
Yeah, there are security issues. Nigeria is still fighting Boko Haram. We still have security issues all over Africa. We have in Nigeria, we have Mali, Niger Republic, we have in Burkina Faso from the Sahel region. That has to be worked on in order for peace to reign, in order for investment to reign. But Russia coming to Africa, that's
another complicates the maps.
Yes, so we don't know what he's going to do to that. Is he afraid of Russia?
Time will tell.
Yeah.
But we hope for the best. We want peace in this world. We want to be around tomorrow and the day after. And that can only happen if there is peace. But we have seen the dynamics of what Trump's presidency poses to the Americans, but also to the rest of the world, and also specifically to Africa in total. We'll keep talking about this issue. For our listeners, don't go away. Stay tuned for more programs coming to you from Colorful Radio. And yes, Emmanuel, as always, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Keep it for the best music anywhere.
Yo, yeah, I wait, so I can feel it. She naked, she wanna feel it. Jamaican, you wanna feel it. Blazing, you wanna feel it. I waited so I can feel it. Mom, she naked, she wanna feel it. Mom, Jamaican, you wanna feel it. Mom. how lush when you give me the love.
Some reggae and sing some hymn. Squeeze that close tighter. She love to scream. Be a yoga partner even in a the gym. Blah 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 blah.
Loving.
It is not enough.
Never enough.
Even when you give her everything.
Everything.
All she wants is a little more of
just
that.
A little more.
And it feels so right. We could get down in the back of the club tonight. Cause I just want to handle you. Girl, I just see a fire party. Say you wanna get down.
Get down on it.
Not if all for me, I got the money.
Jump by money.
I see the same, so I'm ready, baby. Girl, I go chop it like a bamboo. Cause I just find your body. Go. Get up, let's make love tonight. Wake up, cast to do it right. I defeat.